What we just heard at the very end of our gospel reading this morning is so very simple and yet almost unbelievable. Here is our Lord walking by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he encounters these four men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, two sets of brothers. And he looks at them and he says plainly, "Come after me." That's the simple part. The part that is almost unbelievable is that they did just that. There was no hesitation. St. Matthew says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. At once, immediately. What must the gaze of Christ have been like for these men to immediately and completely reorient the whole of their lives to him when he called them with those simple words? We know for sure that they didn't become perfect in that moment, for we'll see throughout the gospel St. Peter's fair share of foibles, including his denial that he even knew Christ in that moment when he needed him most. But that encounter with Christ that day on the shore of the sea was the hinge, the turning point of the whole of their lives. They would never be the same. And that is what a genuine encounter with Christ always does. It leaves us changed. That penetrating gaze of his and his call, "Come after me." It wasn't just for those chosen men by the Sea of Galilee, but it's for each one of us. More likely than not, we're here in church this morning because we have experienced it in some way in our own lives. And perhaps in the midst of the hustle and bustle of our daily living, we can easily forget it. But his gaze has fallen on each of us personally. He's invited you and me, "Come after me." When was that moment for you? The moment you felt Jesus look at you. The moment he called you to follow him. Do you remember it? It's important for us to keep that moment alive, vivid in our memories, because it can and it should be the turning point, the hinge of our whole life. I remember well one such moment for me, seared into my own memory, when I was a junior in high school, and I had the privilege of attending the youth rally with St. John Paul II at the Kiel Center when he visited our city. And I can still hear his voice, his heavily accented English, at the very end of his address, when he called out to all of us there in that arena, "Christ is calling you. The church needs you. The Pope believes in you, and he expects great things from you." Those words hit me to the heart. I felt as if they were spoken directly to me. It was a moment when Christ's gaze fell upon me, and he said, "Come after me." Christ's calling us. He's calling each of us. And he asks for everything. Not just 1 hour on the first day of the week, not just 10% of our income. He wants it all. Because he alone can give meaning and purpose and value to everything in our lives, no matter what it is. Those four men, they left it all. They left their nets and their boat and even their father. Follow him. This weekend, I'm preaching at all of the masses as we begin a time of reflection at our parish on the theme of stewardship. Maybe you had to resist the urge to reach for your wallet there and hold tight to it, because more likely than not, when we hear that word, we think of church finances. And certainly, that is indeed part of the idea of stewardship. But it's not the heart. The heart of stewardship is precisely this experience of the gaze of Christ and his call, "Come after me." Because when we experience that personally, we come to understand the truth that everything I have, and even more, everything I am, is a gift. It's all from him. None of it is mine. As St. Paul says in one of his letters, "What do you have that you did not receive? So why do you act as if it were your own?" And that realization naturally leads us to be filled with gratitude to God for his many, many gifts and blessings. And that gratitude turns into the desire to give everything back to him generously. Gratitude and generosity. This is the heart of stewardship. And it's really a synonym for discipleship, for following after Christ. That realization that everything is a gift leads us to ask the Lord, "What do you want me to do with all that you have given me? What do you want me to do with my time and my talent and my treasure? How can I live a life of purpose and meaning?" Traditionally, we name those three categories of the gifts that God gives us. The first one is time. And you know, when you think of it in time, we're all equals. We all have 24 hours in the day. No one gets more, no one gets less. How do we spend that time? And in particular, how much of it do we give back to God in intentional prayer, setting everything else aside to fix our gaze on him? And then the category of talent. We do differ in this category, don't we? God has spread out among his people so many different unique gifts and talents, and we all have them. And he's spread them among us so that they can complement one another. What do we do with the talents we have received? Do we develop them and share them? For it's when we use our talents that they grow. Or do we simply keep them to ourselves, bury them in the ground, and allow them to die? In that final category, treasure, we differ too in this category. Some of us have more than others when it comes to material goods. But regardless of the amount that I have, what do I do with my money? Am I intentional about how I spend it? The traditional practice, which is rooted in Scripture, is to give back 10% to God, to tithe, by what we give to our parish and to other charities. Maybe you're there, maybe you're not. But I think the question is, do we even know what percent we give? Are we intentional about it? Is it an intentional gift, a returning of God's gifts to us? Or do we simply give here and there when it's opportune and comfortable? You know, a Catholic parish thrives when all of its members live that call to stewardship. We're so blessed here at St. Gerard. We indeed have a very vibrant parish, a thriving parish. But we have to continue to put ourselves forth as good stewards of God's gifts. And certainly there are current needs in our own parish, for example, with regard to time. There are open hours in our adoration chapel that can be filled with your time, time spent with our Lord himself. And with regard to talents, the parish auction is coming up in a few months, and we're blessed to have a couple chairing the auction, but we still will need more volunteers to make it a success. And in treasure, for a few years now, offertory gifts have been kind of flat, and in fact, we're a little behind budget this year if you look in the bulletin today. And we see some needs on the near horizon, like some work on the HVAC system in the parish center that will take some extra funds. Yes, there are current needs, which our parish needs all of us together as good stewards to care for. But stewardship is not just for current needs. It's meant to be a whole way of life, an expression of our discipleship. Christ is calling us. And you know, his call is urgent. He doesn't tell us to begin following him at some point in the future, but in the here and now, in the current moment, in our present circumstances. The call is to recognize that everything we have and everything we are ultimately belongs to God, who has given everything to us. And he desires us not to cling to our nets, but to leave them, to let go and trust. Christ is calling you. Here's a question that might be a helpful one for all of us to reflect on as we strive to be good stewards of God's gifts. When you stand before God at the end of your life, as each of us certainly will, and he asks you what you have done with the gifts he has given you, how will you respond? When I first preached at this AMBO 7 months ago, I told you that this parish doesn't belong to me. And really, it doesn't belong to all of you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And his deepest desire is that we as a parish family would grow together into the saints he's made us to be. Come after me. He repeats that call today. So let us today at this very Mass make a new resolution. Together, united as one parish family, one in Christ, to leave our nets and our boats and to follow him as his disciples and as faithful stewards of his many, many gifts. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.